I'm Christopher Springman, and this is Body Language. Let's start the conversation about bowel incontinence, one of America's least talked about medical conditions, and little wonder, considering that we're discussing the inability to control leakage of contents from the rectum. But why start the conversation? Because there are nearly 18 million adults in the U.S., about 1 in 12, who have bowel incontinence, people whose lives may be improved, but they're often embarrassed, ashamed, and hiding the problem from intimate partners and even their health providers, even though there may be answers and treatments available that can give sufferers realistic expectations of living a better quality of life. Listen to the thoughts of our next guest, Dr. Deborah Nagel, MD, Chief of Colon and Rectal Surgery at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston and a fellow of the American Society of Colon and Rectal Surgeons. Dr. Nagel, thanks for joining us today on Body Language.
It's my pleasure, Christopher.
There's just something about discussing a problem that's occurring down there. So I believe our goal, Dr. Nagel, is to give people permission and tools to have this conversation with, well, with folks like you who are not only sensitive about these issues, but can provide answers.
Well, we're certainly sensitive, and we can definitely provide answers, and we have to start with discussion and diagnosis. There are certainly patients who just don't disclose their problems with bowel control to their doctors or family members or anyone else. And so it's a call to all of us to think more openly and discuss things that are true quality of life problems.
What is bowel incontinence, and what are the symptoms?
Bowel incontinence means that you cannot delay passage of gas, liquid stool, or solid stool from the rectum until a desired time. And it's a complex process with nerves, muscles, and material all working together to give signals to control and release contents.
You know, I have an article here from the National Institutes of Health, which asks the question, how does bowel control work? Well, bowel control relies on the muscles and nerves of the rectum and anus working together to, number one, hold stool in the rectum, let a person know when the rectum is full, and release stool when the person is ready. This is a very, very tricky process. I don't know if tricky is the right word, but it's fairly complicated and sophisticated. Why is it important for people to understand how bowel control works in terms of understanding what your diagnosis might be?
Well, I think that the doctors need to understand how bowel control works so they can best help a patient with therapeutic options when they've diagnosed bowel incontinence. So we know that since the nerves and the muscles work together, a patient can have disruption of the muscles, and that leads to one therapeutic line. Patients can have injury or decreased function in nerves, which could direct treatment in a different way. Patients could have no anatomical problems in their nerves or their muscles and yet still suffer bowel incontinence, which would potentially direct you in another way to treat them and improve their quality of life.
Why do people continue to suffer in silence when there is help available? I'm sure you hear this all the time from people who contact you and receive the proper diagnosis, and you have a discussion about possible treatments and therapies and outcomes. And I would assume that many of these people have probably waited a long time.
I think that people find it embarrassing. I think it's difficult to bring up something that feels like a loss in your own body and impacts your ability to interact in the world that you in the way that you want to. And frankly, embarrassing conditions are socially isolating, so patients think that they're the only one who's suffering with this problem. Nobody goes to a cocktail party and tells you about their bowel incontinence.
No, and there probably isn't a run for the cure either. But very often people's sense of freedom, independence, and mobility is inhibited, and occasionally by the thought that you're a member of the American Society of Colon and Rectal Surgeons. I think some people assume inaccurately that you will simply recommend surgery as a solution, but that really isn't the case, is it? That very often non-surgical therapies that may address the issue will produce an outcome or a result that people can very comfortably live with.
That's absolutely true. And we should actually start with medical therapy for all patients. And medical therapy can be as simple as altering a bowel regimen, adding fiber or other bulking agents to change the caliber of the stool to make it easier for patients to control. It can also include mild medications that are sold over the counter that, when taken in combination with a bowel regimen, can slow the transit through the colon and potentially even help the colon work a little bit better. And these combinations, for many, many people, can improve the quality of life enough that they're happy.
Is there a prevention component to bowel incontinence, something dealing with diet and exercise?
Gosh, diet and exercise is almost always helpful for physiological issues. I think that a good diet with high fiber is generally recommended and is helpful in terms of maintaining normal bowel function. Exercise is very important too, because as we discussed, continence is a complex mechanism of nerves and muscles. The more active you are and the healthier your muscles are, the more likely you are to maintain good muscle function in the pelvis. When those things are just not enough to achieve the result we want, there's an array of less invasive surgical procedures that are now FDA approved and available in the United States. One of those is sacral nerve stimulation, where something like a pacemaker is implanted around the nerves in the back that lead to the rectum and stimulate the muscles around the rectum. And for a lot of patients, that can be effective. There are barrier agents or device that simply close off the rectum a bit and allow people to delay passage of stool. And there are bulking agents that attempt to build up the anal canal and increase the closure of it by adding some substances under the lining of the rectum. These agents can be effective. Nothing is perfect, of course, and it's hard to recreate our natural state, but for many patients in combination with medical therapy, these devices or procedures can provide benefit. There's additionally a procedure where radio frequency energy is delivered to the lining and below, just below the lining of the anal canal and the muscles, to strengthen and bind the area a little bit more. And that's another version of a closure type technique to bulk up the anal canal or close off the bottom of the rectum.
You know, I have tremendous admiration for people who initiate this conversation after years, as I said earlier, of suffering in silence. It's really important to start the conversation with your physician about, you know, finding solutions to bowel incontinence that will provide a better quality of life. Tell me, doctor, where can people go for more information about bowel incontinence?
Well, Christopher, the American Society of Colon and Rectal Surgeons website is a good place to go. There's information for both the public about bowel incontinence and treatments, as well as for practitioners. You mentioned the NIH website, and that it has a great deal of very helpful information. In addition, there's the National Association for Continence, which is a public advocacy organization dedicated to people with incontinence and improving the quality of their life.
Our guest has been Dr. Deborah Nagel, MD, Chief of Colon and Rectal Surgery at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston, Massachusetts, and a fellow of the American Society of Colon and Rectal Surgeons. Dr. Nagel, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language.
Christopher, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy and you feel fine. But that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Doesn't always cause symptoms, but it can be prevented. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.